that taste and taste.
And you're listening to Midwest Paratalk Radio on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're with Midwest Paratalk Radio, and you've been hanging out with me all night here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network, and I want to thank everyone for coming and sticking around and scratching their butts and everything for me.
What? That's too much. That's TMI.
Well, yeah. You know.
A little. A little smith of a share.
Well, you know, you can. It's just like, you know, you can. I don't know.
You can pick your friends.
Yeah, you can't pick your friends' nose in public.
Or however that goes, I don't know.
See,
I'm not good on these little homonym type things. I don't know.
We're on the same page there. That's freaky.
It's very freaky.
So what in the heck is going on over there in Ohio?
Woo-hoo, waiting for the snow.
Oh, I had...
Big old snow.
Yeah, I had Mrs. C check it out on the radar.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like... This storm is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Washington, D.C. is going to get plummeted. Or pummeled. It's like they're looking like 2 foot of snow. And yeah. All the Congress people are going to have to stay the weekend. I just don't know. It's just awful.
Aww.
They might have to work or something.
Do you know I had to go to D.C. one time, and they put me on a little puddle jumper, right? Which, you mm-hmm. know, okay, whatever. I'm really not that scared to fly. It's just, you know, I think it's kind of cool, actually. But on the way back, they put me on a puddle jumper coming back to Indianapolis International. And two rows in front of me was Julia Carson. She was a congresswoman for Indianapolis, okay? Or Indiana, or however they, you know, whatever district. And she was like, I don't know, 540 years past dirt old. Anyway, and, you know, not to speak ill of the, you know, deceased or anything. But, man, this woman had the biggest freaking head I have ever seen on any human in my life. I mean, it was like, you know, like Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skulls?
Yeah.
This woman's head was that big, and it was from side to side, not front to back. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, holy.
You couldn't, like, see around her. It was like, lead over the aisle and try to see the movie or something.
I know, right? Exactly. She would be one of those that's like, man, I've got to change seats because I just can't see through her head.
I can't look at that head any longer.
Yeah, exactly. But it was a trip.
The back of her head then.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Oh,
it was huge, and her bodyguard was just as big.
Bodyguard.
Yeah, her Secret Service.
Oh, I suppose they need them. I don't know.
I wouldn't have a head that big. Maybe they have their older head up.
Hey, we were talking about Aquanet earlier in the chat room. She could just, you know, if she was an Aquanet user, she could put somebody to the grave with that stuff.
Oh, our mother used that. Oh, my God.
Really? I remember back in the day.
It's a big one, Vicky, though. Even now, I think that it's used quite a bit because your hair don't move.
Yes, she uses it still.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you happen to hear a chainsaw in the background, it's nothing to worry about. Mrs. C is not going to try to kill me and cut me up into little pieces.
You have a chainsaw in the house?
No, my neighbor actually cuts wood and sells it.
Well, it's a good time of the day to do it.
No, he does it this late at night all the time. I know it sounds crazy, but I think he works a day job,
little
and this
bit,
is his supplemental job. And, you know, he's kind of a different kind of sort anyway. So, I just don't ask questions, you know?
No, you don't. You just let it go.
Yeah, okay. Hey, we're not bothering you. No, you're fine, buddy. You cut up whatever you want over there.
Oh, man. That's not bad. I've got a neighbor who likes to burn his garbage in his fireplace.
Oh.
I mean, his kitchen garbage and whatever else is in there. And you want to talk about a stench.
Really?
Yeah, but we're all used to it because he's lived here forever. We're like, okay, whatever.
But
we're going to close the windows today because he's got the fireplace going.
Let me talk to you about some stench. Okay? at my job, I work for – I contract to a major pharmaceutical company.
Right.
And where they have –
the remain unnamed.
Yeah, Lily. So I badge in because, you know, they have everyone badge in because, you know, it's super top secret.
Oh, of course.
So they have this special contractor's lot or door that you have to walk in, right? Okay, so you badge in, you go through the turnstile, and it's outside, and it's all guarded up and stuff, right? And they have the underground liquid waste tanks right where the contractors have to walk over. So they have these big old tankers come in and suck all the goop up out of the – and just so and so everyone knows, the goop is actual – the animal parts that they put into the incinerator and they – And okay. So,
Call Al Gore.
It smells like straight up sewage, okay?
Well, I'm sure.
And I'm like, you know, I was walking by today. I'm thinking, you know, I wonder how many OSHA violations they're committing right now. Because, I mean, the smell, you know. Oh, get this. And I forgot to tell you this. Mrs. C is here, too. Hi, everybody. Say hi. Hi, Mrs. C.
Hi, D.
Hi.
So, my buddy and I were standing outside taking our break this afternoon, and you know, bad mouth and everything, and you know, and the security guide pulls up, and I'm like, okay, what's going on? And there's two guys standing on the corner out over across the way from us, catty corner, and I'm like, what are they doing? There was blood spatter on the concrete there. And it started underneath the bridge there and went up the walkway across the street and then onto the lot and into the drive gate there. So they're all like, oh, man, there's blood, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, there's no bodies. Carry on, you know?
They're
seriously
supposed to call hazmat for that stuff.
I don't know what they did. I was like,
yeah,
they
are. They're supposed to call for that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they didn't. That's communicable.
Yeah.
I mean, theoretically.
D goes, you know, anyone else in the world would be curious to know, and you're just not. I'm like, I don't care. There wasn't a dead body there. You know, if there had been a body laying there on the ground, I would have stuck around and saw that because, you know, the CSI would have come in. They'd have taped that stuff off. I'd had to call the boss. Hey, boss, I'm not going to be back in this rest, you know, this afternoon. I want to watch this. So I am. I can't help it. You married me. So,
See,
the thing is, what it was probably a rat. Or
big one. Must have been an awful big one.
No, the rats over there are pretty big.
Well, apparently.
Or a dog or a cat or some kind of animal that got hit by a car because it's a major road. You know, seriously. It got hit in the street and moved its way up into the bushes. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it, because there wasn't nobody, and it wasn't that cool, so I just moved along and minded my own business. So anyway, who we got coming on tonight?
Well, just a small bit of, oh, my God, what'd you say?
Who we got coming on tonight?
Oh, John Kachuba from Cincinnati.
From Cincinnati.
An Ohio boy, yeah.
Why are we singing? What is this singing?
Because, I told you, he played music from like 8 o'clock,
okay.
And I got the chat room on, and I'm doing all this stuff, and all I hear is music. And then he played, like, he played voodoo.
Oh, I played everything.
Okay?
I played a little bit of everything.
And that got stuck in my head. And then, you know, just talking about the music, and now I want to sing.
Sing a song.
I don't want to sing that. But, you know, they played George Clinton, and I'm going like,
Oh, hey, Joni.
Ooh, that's the reduce.
Oh,
man.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
It's just been that kind of night.
You know, it has been.
I've got, like, snow mania or something. I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting for it.
I'd already told my buddy. He's like, well, are you going to come in tomorrow? I'm like, hell no, I'm not coming in tomorrow. I've got my laptop here at home for work. I'm working my butt right here in this chair and playing music probably all day tomorrow on ASPRN.
And watching Highlander.
How much are you supposed to get?
We're supposed to get 4 to 6 inches by morning.
No, they're calling for 8 to 12 where I'm at.
Oh, and it's supposed to snow all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday.
Yeah, we're on the line, so we're always where we are. We're always on the line. So I don't know which way we're going to go. We're going to go over a foot or maybe stop at 5 or 6. I don't know.
We're 8 to 12 in Moundsville.
So, when are we going to do that
river.
Investigation there?
When do you want to?
Let's do it.
That.
Let's do it when we get.
Mike's supposed to be doing that.
Well, when we get closer to a little bit better weather.
Yeah, May. I would say May.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's cold in that joint. It's really cold in that joint.
Right. We definitely
damp. Cold and damp.
So we'll have to talk and have to hook that up and see if we can't make a ParaQuest production event out of that and like get however many people we need, because don't they have a minimum investigation quota?
Here's
what they do now. You have to get online and you have to get your own ticket, and mm-hmm. then you have to try to get there the same night everybody else is doing it.
Okay.
You have to go through online, and that's why we were thinking if we get a hold of somebody in there that we wouldn't have to do that. We wouldn't, because then you don't know who you're gonna
end up with,
you know.
Right.
But I know the guy that takes care of all that, and I know the girl that books all the other things, so I'll get a hold of.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it getting right there at the same time.
Right.
The way they do it anymore.
Nice.
They got people there every weekend.
I'll tell her that we're going to maybe do a radio production from there.
Definitely.
They'll close it for us, probably.
Outstanding.
That would be nice. Mm-hmm. But we probably need at least 10 people, and I don't think that would be a problem at all.
I don't think it will either.
Because they give you pizza.
Yeah. I like it because they give you pizza.
To bat, man. Give me that pizza.
They give you pizza.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but stay off the Indian Mound.
Indian Mound. You know, there's a park here in Indianapolis that that has a big mound. And it's out in the middle of this park, and the forest off to the right of the mound has supposedly got a little boy that was ran over by a train that goes, or train tracks that go through there, and was hit by a train. But no one knows why that mound is there. And it's
probably got dead Indians in it.
It's probably 14, 15 foot high.
Oh, yeah. Well, you saw how big that one is. Mm-hmm. It's huge. Big Creek? Grave Creek.
Yeah.
That's what they call it.
Big Grave Creek, yeah.
And you know what? You know, talk about paranormal state, and yes, I have the same opinion as most other people, but they are the only ones that have ever went there and addressed the question of the burial mound across the road from the prison.
Mm-hmm.
They're the only ones.
You know.
I got to give them some credit. I mean, that mound was, it was raped. People went in there and just took stuff out and took their pottery and whatever else they found for years.
It's 32 feet high, I think.
Oh, wow.
It's huge. It's awesome.
Yeah,
I love it.
You used to be able to walk up to the top of it. They don't allow you to do that anymore.
Huh.
I don't know if they got a railing up and stuff. I think you have to go through the museum now. Before, they didn't have that museum. And Jean Crow used to take me through when I was a kid, because she lived down there. And we walked up on it a couple times.
They won't let you on it anymore.
Oh, that sucks.
Not right now. I don't know what's going on with it. But there's several. There's the Methodist.
Yeah, they're all over the place, really.
Well, that's why it's called Moundsville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Huh. Very interesting.
Here's a little bit of trivia for you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. So, do we have a haunted history tonight?
Well, no.
Okay. That's fine, I guess.
Nope. Oh, shut up. I read this really, I don't know what the word is for it. I wouldn't call it awesome, but I was reading a study today that they had done in Britain and I think Denmark, about people that are vegetative, in a vegetative state, and have been for years.
Uh-huh.
They somehow found a way to connect the sensors up to the head and run like EEGs and stuff for a period of time over 2 or 3 weeks. These people, even though they are supposedly vegetative, they're responding internally in their brain to questions and things.
Hmm.
Now, is that freaking scary?
No, not actually, because, and I'll tell you why. I was talking to Jason Sullivan at the Paranormal Meet and Greet here this last summer, and they were running some experiments on individuals that were in a comatose state and trying to work with EVP.
Basically what they said, they said it goes on for years.
Yeah, and tries to get EVPs and stuff and responses out of the
That'd
comatose.
Be a good idea.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, because what bothered me, when I worked in Columbus, that's where I worked. I worked at this one wing. They were all on ventilators. They all had feeding tubes, and they were all vegetative. And I'm telling you, there was one guy in there that got hurt on a motorcycle. He'd been in for like 3 years. He had a family, mm-hmm. and he was a minister. And I would go in there. I'm looking at him. I'm like, his eyes are moving. This guy's not vegetative. And they're like, oh, well, they do that. That's a reflex. And you hear that all the time. And blah, 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 blah. I'm like, whatever. I don't believe it. So I would go in there because I work midnights,
yeah.
and I'd take something loud and drop it, and he would jump.
Really?
That's not a reflex. That's a reaction.
Right, exactly.
And he died. He died after I left, which I'm glad he did because that was just pitiful. I think he was totally aware of everything that was going on around him.
Right.
And believe me, he did not have a good time there. You know?
Wow.
So I'm glad if that's true. I hope they address it with these kind of people, these kind of patients.
Right, right. So, John Kachuba.
John Kachuba, yep.
Are we calling him on his landline or on the cell phone?
Landline. Try the landline.
Landline works for me. Yeah. I tell you guys what we're going to do. It's about a quarter after the hour here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. We're going to break off to a little station identification and a couple commercials, and we'll come back with John Kachuba here on Midwest Paratalk Radio. You guys hang out with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Midwest Paratalk Radio on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Join the crew from NKYPS for Paranormal Outreach Radio every Wednesday night at 9:30 Eastern, kicking off the Paranormal Powerhouse lineup. Mike, Matt, and Crystal turning up the heat with a variety of guests from the paranormal community. There'll be fun, laughter, and a bit of information dealing with the paranormal issues. Join us every Wednesday night at 9:30 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Need your paranormal radio experience for the week? Looking for answers to the bumps in the night you hear? Tune in to Para Investigators Radio with Kurt and Bill every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern in Studio A of the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Oops, sorry about that. I didn't mean to cut that off, and I apologize for that.
Hello?
Hello, John?
Yep.
Hey, welcome to Midwest Paratalk Radio. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you all doing?
Doing outstanding.
Doing well, thank you.
Yep, doing just fine.
Well, hold on, I'm messing with some audio issues
here. I know, I have to keep hitting my mute button because Kevin's still talking. Oh, my goodness. How is it, Delicious Daddy John?
A little cold.
Yeah?
It's okay. It's been better. Now, where are you guys?
I am in Barnesville, which is in Belmont County. It's about, I don't know, 30 miles from Wheeling, actually, so that's like...
Okay, yeah.
Would be what, northeast? Well, middle, central, I guess. My brother, Mike, he's on here. He's in Moundsville, West Virginia, along the river.
Oh, all right. Yeah,
and Greg is in Indiana.
I am.
Gosh, mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So, John, why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, and we'll just take off from there. What do you say?
Okay.
Great.
Well, sure. Basically, I'm in Cincinnati, Ohio, a ghost hunter that's been doing this for, I don't know, probably close to 10 years, I guess, at this point. And I've written 3 books about ghosts. 2 of them have to do with the Midwest. One is Ghost Hunting Ohio. The other mm-hmm. one is Ghost Hunting Illinois. And then my most recent book was called Ghost Hunters, and it had a very long subtitle called On the Trail of Mediums, Dowsers, Spirit Seekers, and Other Investigators of America's Paranormal World.
Right.
So if you can read that whole title, you know, it's like reading the encyclopedia, you know. But so I've written those, and, you know, I travel around a lot. I've done a lot of investigations over these years. I've probably done close to 100 in the last 5 years, I would say. Maybe even less time than that. And I'm working on some other new books. I speak a lot about ghosts. I'm on a lot of radio programs, do a lot of conferences. So that's kind of a quick overview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you do a lot of speaking and things like that, you said. And you've got something coming up pretty soon, actually, don't you?
Right, in April. And I'm not even exactly sure of the date, but there's something called the Ohio Paracon. That's going to be held here in Cincinnati, actually, which is as near as I can figure, that's the first time a ghost paranormal conference has been held here. There's been some efforts in the past, but they've all sort of fell by the wayside. Hopefully this one's going to go through. It looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have one of our friends in the chat room is from Cincinnati, and he had a show on here too, and I think he was talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
So looks like you might have some good attendance.
I think so, and it's going to be held in Cincinnati Music Hall, which is, it's a great building of its own, but it's also haunted. And so it's
yeah.
a great place to have a conference.
You know, that
yeah.
is the best venue for having a paranormal conference. I mean, so if you can book a place that has some type of paranormal activity, you know, that just kind of, for me, I mean, I've been down to the Crump Theater in Columbus, Indiana, I don't know, 3 times now for different paranormal conferences and meet and greets and whatnot, and it just kind of heightens the excitement of the day. You know, it just makes it that much more fun, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I agree. I think a lot of people that are putting together these conferences are looking for places like that. Mm-hmm. You know, haunted hotels or places like music hall or theaters or whatever. And there's enough of them out there that you can easily do it, I think.
Mm-hmm. So, and your wife, she writes too, doesn't she?
No, my wife is actually a consultant. We co-authored a book back in 1999 that had absolutely nothing to do with the paranormal. It was called Why Is This Job Killing Me? And she's
no.
a specialist. Well, her specialty is occupational safety and health. So we were kind of writing about, you know, anything in the workplace that could make people sick or give them cancer, or, you know, eventually kill them, you know. But, no, she's with a PhD in science, she's on the skeptical end of the paranormal spectrum, let's say.
Mm-hmm. What about you? Are you skeptical, or are you open? I know you're open-minded at least, but are you skeptical, too, on what you've, the results from your investigations and such?
Well, you know, the word skeptical always takes such a negative aspect, and I don't say that I'm skeptical. Actually, the word, you know, skeptic and skeptical is not really negative, but people take it that way. No, I would say that I'm open-minded. Over the years, you know, I've had experiences that have happened to me, and certainly people that I know and trust that make me think, well, there's something going on out there. Now, I don't know that I could say that every little occurrence that I can't explain is due to a ghost, but I'm certainly open-minded to the possibility that there are, you know, forces above and beyond what we know here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what exactly is the premise of the book you just authored?
Ghost Hunters, the most recent one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ghost Hunters is, well, the first two, Ghost Hunting Ohio and Ghost Hunting Illinois, I just want to back up those a little bit. Basically, what I did in each one of those states is I went to roughly 3 dozen locations that were haunted and all open to the public so that people can actually go and check them out for themselves. So they're sort of what I call paranormal travel books. Ghost Hunters is a little bit different. It's national in scope. And there are maybe, I don't know how many investigations, but I did investigations in that book as well, mostly teaming up with some other groups and other investigators. So I have them in investigations from North Carolina, New Mexico, Florida, Connecticut, you know, different locations. But then in addition to that, I have several chapters of interviews with people who I'd call them paranormal celebrities. For instance, Ed and Lorraine Warren, who were, you know, probably America's premier ghost hunters. Of course, Ed has since passed away, but I've known those folks for a while, and I have a chapter in there that's actually a combination of 2 different interviews I did with them, one many years ago when they were both live and hale and hearty, and one later when Ed had his massive stroke, but he hadn't passed away yet, but he was very much... Well, he was completely incapacitated, but Lorraine was still doing her thing. So I have that. I have an interview with the real ghost whisperer. If people watch TV and they see the ghost whisperer. Mm-hmm. The real woman who is the ghost whisperer is Marianne Winkowski, and she lives right here in Ohio. She's a consultant
for
the program. Yeah, she's up in
Columbus
area.
I didn't know that.
North Boylston,
Ohio. I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah. She's been doing her thing locally you know, for many, many years, which is basically talking to the dead and moving them on. But somehow she fell in with James von Prague, the medium, and next thing you know, a television show was produced, and she acts as a consultant to that program.
Yeah.
So there's that kind of thing in the book. So it's a little bit of a different it's a different kind of book because it has interviews, it has locations, it also has some offbeat chapters. For instance, I have a chapter in there about buying haunted items on eBay.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. So, you know, like you want a real ghost in a jar? Hey, it's only $10. It's not a bag.
Is it a bag of poltergeists?
Oh, yeah, that's my favorite. The woman was selling a bag of poltergeists, you know.
Yeah, you just wonder what people expect when they buy that.
Yeah. I know. Well, you know, I actually called her. You know, that's the whole story because, I mean, here she was literally selling two poltergeists in a bag. And I called her and said, did you have any buyers for that? And she said, oh, yeah. She had a guy that was going to buy them, and she was pretty much convinced that she was going to, you know, close the deal with him. But then she called him. They had a little conversation, and she said that she decided to keep them after all. And I said, why? And she said, well, she wasn't convinced that this guy knew how to take care of poltergeists.
Wow. The care and feeding of poltergeists.
That's my next book, yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, things like that.
Yeah, we never know, do you?
Yeah, you know, you never know.
It takes some time.
Oh, my goodness. But anyway, now, when you did your investigating, did you have a group, or did you just tag along with another group, or did you do it yourself, or what did you do?
I don't have any group that I don't have a group of my own. I have met over the years, obviously, people from many different groups, and I've had the occasion to work with a lot of different groups. But I've also worked solo on my own, solo as well. So, yeah, and I'm still open. I mean, if I'm in a particular area that I haven't been to before, I'll contact a local group that, you know, I might not even know the folks, but I may have heard of the group, and just say, hey, can I tag along if you've got anything going? Actually, I did that not too long ago. My son lives in Hawaii, and I tagged along with the Hawaiian, let's see, what is it, the Ghost Hunters of Hawaii or something like that. It comes up to be Ghost. They're going to kill me for mangling their name, but, you know, they were great. I had met them before, and they took us around one night to some ancient Hawaiian temples and just, I mean, some beautiful places, you know. So, I continue to do that.
I've read a lot about Hawaii, and they talk about they call them the Night Walkers. Is that what they call them?
Night Walkers. Yeah, Night Marchers.
Yeah. Night Marchers, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a legend. But people swear that they have seen that, and they said if you see them or you hear them coming, don't look at them.
Right. Right.
I think they can do something with you. I don't know.
Hey, if you see a Nightwalker, don't look at him. You know, the first thing I'm going to do if I do actually see one?
Look at him.
You know? I mean,
yeah,
hey,
look at him. Right.
You know, like,
well, that's what they say. I mean, they're like, don't look at him.
Like a 13-year-old teenager.
Get down on your stomach and hide your face and do not look at him. That's what they
say.
That's
right. That's what they say. If they make eye contact with you, you'll be joining them.
You're done.
That reminds me
toast.
Of the movie
Hawaiian
Ghost.
Toast.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be hard not to look at.
So, of all your investigations, what sticks out in your mind as the most interesting thing you've ever seen or found or heard?
Boy, I get that question all the time, and it keeps changing because as I go along with things, you know, things get better and better. But one thing that an event that happened to me in Florida that I really liked because it was unusual, I thought. It was at a place called the May Stringer House in Brooksville, Florida. And this is an old Victorian mansion. It's like a three-story old building. And it's all furnished with period furnishing. And it's basically the County Historical Society Museum now. So you can go in and take a look and do tours and things. But they've had a lot of activity. And they've had a lot of different kinds of sightings and things there. So I did an investigation overnight with the person who was like let's call her the supervisor of the house, and another ghost hunter from Tampa, Florida. And it was pretty low key. We just had some cameras and some recorders and things like that. It wasn't, you know, a major full tech kind of investigation. But we were there all night long, and nothing was really happening. But the house was very quiet, but unusually so. I mean, this is an old house. And, you know, floorboards weren't creaking. You didn't hear any of the usual pops and groans and things that you hear from old houses at night or during, you know, nothing like that at all. It was very quiet. Mm-hmm. And the quiet was what kind of sort of triggered our senses maybe a little bit, because it wasn't a natural kind of quiet, especially when right across the street was a biker bar. And
nice.
And that was going full blast. Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you'd open the door and you would hear all this noise and everything else across it, and you close it, and it was just like totally quiet. Now, this house, I'm saying, this is an old house. It's not insulated that well, and it's in Florida, you know.
Exactly.
But there was supposed to be the spirit, the main spirit there is supposed to be a 3.5-year-old girl named Jessie, who died from some childhood disease around the 1880s or so. And so there's a lot of evidence that she's been around. Like, they have some antique toys that are on display in there. And when they lock up at night, you know, they set the alarms, because they have valuable things in there, so they have to place alarm. They set all the alarms, put everything away, and they'll come back in the morning, and they'll unlock, and they'll find, like, the toys are scattered all around the house, especially the dolls and that kind of thing. So they think Jessie's playing with them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that night was very quiet, and the supervisor was so apologetic, because she said, oh, we dragged you out here. We wanted you to come to the house because it's been so active, and nothing happens tonight, and we're really sorry. And I said, hey, you know, that's the way things go in investigations. You never know from one day to the next. You know?
Right.
We decided at about 3 o'clock in the morning that we were just going to call it quits. You know, the house was quiet, was strange, but nothing else was happening.
Right.
So we make sure the alarms are set and everything else. Now that we have the alarm set, we have to go out through the back door, which is in the kitchen. So there's three of us. We have all the lights turned off, and we have one flashlight, and we're walking very close together so we can see with that one flashlight. And we're going through the kitchen, and on my right-hand side, as we go, I'm in the lead, and the other people right behind me. I pass a wood-burning stove, and this stove had on the surface of it, there was like this long metal, like a cast iron hook. It was probably about 18 inches long. It had some weight to it, probably about half a pound or so. And it was attached to this big metal, sort of like a metal lid on top of the stove. And the idea was, when that stove got hot and you had to throw more wood in there, you'd use this hook to pull up that lid.
Right.
You'd drop
right.
some more logs and slam it down, right? Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this hook is lying completely on the surface. And as we walk by, I notice in this flashlight glare, I see movement. And I look to my right-hand side, and this hook, it's lying flat in the stove. It rises up and flips over. It does a 180, right? It's just totally up. And this is about an 18-inch long hook. It's weighing about half a pound.
Mm-hmm.
It just flips up and over, and it slams down. I mean, it did it fast, and it slammed down on that lid so hard that it actually popped off the, you know, was attached like a little eye bolt. It actually popped it right off. And, you know, we all saw this, and I wasn't the only one. That was a nice thing. Usually what happens is, you know, is one person sees it, nobody else sees
mm-hmm.
it, you know.
Right.
We were all right there, bunched together under the flashlight, and we all just stood there and said, did you see that?
Then it all the sunlight gets going, and you're like, how did
you know? Yeah. And of course, we put the cameras away, everything was packed up, because we were leaving,
uh-huh.
you know.
Right.
We were heading out the door, that's when it happens.
It's almost like, you know, we're going to do this for you, but we don't want anybody else to see it.
Well, you know, it's funny, because it's exactly what the superintendent said. She said, well, mm-hmm. you know, Jessie, the ghost, she said, Jessie was very quiet, but she just wanted to let us know that she was here, and she's just saying goodbye. I said, okay, fine. You know?
That's a good sign, I'll tell you, that is just awesome.
Well, and the thing is, you know, we stayed there for a while, and we started playing around with that hook, saying, okay, now let's figure this out. Could one of us have knocked into it? Was it hanging off the side? What happened? Well, there wasn't any way that we could recreate that motion. And with that kind of force, I mean, that's the other thing. It was literally like somebody just slammed it down, picked it up and slammed it down. You know, it was just
yeah.
it was pretty incredible.
Yeah, that is.
So those kinds of things. Yeah. And like I say, I like that because it was such a major movement, a major activity that
mm-hmm.
you really pay attention to something like that.
Mm-hmm. So what got you started in this anyway? I mean, just the paranormal in general.
Yeah, well, I grew up in New England. I was raised in Connecticut, and I've always
uh-huh.
liked history. You know, always been a student of history, and with that comes sort of an interest in the local history. And then you start hearing stories you know, about local legends and ghosts and things like that. And I was intrigued by that at an early age. And I met the Warrens. I lived in the same town that they did in Connecticut, and I met them many years ago, decades ago, on a purely unrelated, it wasn't even a ghost-related topic, but it ended up being a ghost-related topic. They invited me to the house, and they were showing me some pictures that they had taken of a place in Connecticut where I had visited for other reasons, not paranormal. And I also had taken some photos in which I had gotten some strange things, and so I called them, and they invited me over. So from there, I just got really interested in things and sort of always started researching. But I didn't really even start writing about these until like 2004 when Ghost Hunting Ohio came out, you know? So I don't know what took me so long to start writing about it, but now I'm doing a lot of writing about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, probably just supposed to be that way. And you, I know you went to college in Ohio. You went to Athens, didn't you?
I went to Antioch in Yellow Springs, and I went to Ohio University in Athens, right. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was teaching there for a while.
Okay. And what better place than Athens to, you know, get a dose of paranormal?
Exactly.
That's a well-kept secret. People, you know, we live in Ohio, we talk about Athens, and people outside of Ohio don't see, and there's some people in Ohio that don't actually know what all is said to go on down at Athens.
Right. Well, and the thing, too, is there's, like every place that has some kind of reputation, you have to take, you know, maybe 50% of that reputation and say, okay, that just never happened, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say it, but that's true of Athens as well. A lot of the stories that you hear there are just, you know, they're a myth and urban legend, and they never occurred. But the things that did happen there are strong and are good enough. The cover of my Ghost Hunting Ohio in 2004, the cover of it is a picture of this old Victorian, it was a hospital. It was the Athens, they call it the Athens Lunatic Asylum.
The Ridges.
The Ridges, exactly. It's now part of Ohio University, and it's a beautiful, gorgeous building up on a ridge overlooking the Hocking River.
Exactly, yeah.
And that place is great.
Yeah, I know. It's like office space, and you can't get in there anymore, but I actually, I worked at a group home, oh my God, back in 98, and it was for like MRDD, dual diagnosis, schizophrenic and all this. And we had a guy that grew up in the system. He was in Gallipolis. And he ended up at Athens, and when they closed Athens, he got into the system in Belmont County somehow. And he probably functioned about 7-year-old, though he was in his 40s. Mm-hmm. And he used to talk about the Ridges and things that went on down there when he was there, this would have been in the 70s, and how they were mistreated, you know, and so forth and so on. So, that, you know, there's probably a lot of bad, what would the word be?
Juju.
In that building,
juju.
You know? Atmosphere, maybe, or something?
Well, yeah, there is. I mean, you know, let's see, I'm trying to think when it was built. I think it was 1872 when it was built, and at that time they had, at its heyday, they held something like 1,500 patients there. And the place was a town unto itself. They had their own dairy, a dairy farm. They made bricks. They had a printing press. The idea in those days was that you put the patients to work. You know, being out and employed somehow was good health and good therapy.
Right.
And that's, yeah, that's what they believed. I mean, that's what they thought, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then they also had the treatments that, you know, they thought would help, and we look at them today, and they were, you know, barbaric. But that was just what they believed. So a lot of patients were, you know, by our standards today, were, you know, mistreated. So, yeah, we did an investigation. Well, I did a couple, but I did one with a group out of Columbus there, and we managed to get into the building. It is locked up for the most part. There's one floor that is open to the public. It's a museum on the ground floor. There's another floor above where some of the teaching assistants in the art department at OU have their own private little studios where they, you know, where they can do their own work. And actually, all those studios were old patients' rooms. They simply moved out the old beds and nightstands and moved the artists in. So, I mean, they didn't even paint the walls. There's graffiti on the walls from the patients and everything else. Man,
wow.
I've been up there. It's incredible. But we did this investigation top to bottom, even on the wards that are locked because, you know, there are safety reasons. There's lead, asbestos, all that kind of stuff. We got a great EVP. We we had some recorders placed in different areas. One of the places where he put a recorder was down in the basement, which is where they had, the typical padded cells. You know, the patients that were in danger of hurting themselves or others were kept down there in these rooms. Literally, they were like jail cells. I mean, they were kind of just locked up for their own good. And we had a recorder in one of those rooms, closed the door, and we left it. And we went all night long. First, you know, at the end of the thing, we collect all our recorders and cameras and everything. And now, as you all know, comes the process of spending, I don't know how many hours, you know, reviewing all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But we're listening to this one recorder down in the basement. And we don't hear anything. We just, you know, just kind of hear the white noise, you know. You know, nothing else. And we're listening, and we're half asleep, and then all of a sudden we hear, "Would you help us?"
Oh my! You just gave me chills.
Yeah, so that's what happened.
That's whoa! What happened. That could go anywhere. Like, yeah, you just whoo.
And I mean, you know, and it was
oh
so
God.
Clear. I've heard a lot of EVPs in my life, and you know, there's different qualities. You all know, some are really, I don't hear that. Other ones are wow. Well, this is a wow. I mean, literally, even
oh,
talking about it now,
so
the hair just stands up
oh
in my
God.
Head.
Yeah, that's just terrible. Oh my.
And it makes sense. I mean, if you consider where it was, you know, where it was placed and everything else, that EVP, I mean, the message is a logical message for people to be saying, you know, get us out of here. Would you help us? You know, whatever. So, yeah, it's a great place. It's just too bad that it's really inaccessible now because the university has really, they've got it under lock and key. You know, you go in there, if you trespass in there, I mean, they'll...
Would they let taps in?
Yeah,
no? Okay. Did you happen to see the figure on the floor upstairs? Did you guys get to see that?
Yes.
That's
in one of the locked wards. In fact, there's a photo of it in my book. I took a picture of it in Ghost Hunter, Ohio. And actually in Ghost Hunters, too. It's in both books.
Okay.
That's a very interesting story. If you look at it, it's one of the tower rooms, that's it, because this building had, like, these two big towers, kind of like Gothic towers. And,
Gothic.
Yeah, and they were patients' rooms as well. And what happened was, up until, like, the mid-1980s, there were still patients in that hospital, although there was maybe only about two dozen. Everybody else had been, you know, released to places where they can function better on the outside, but there was still kind of a hardcore group that, there was no place for them to go, so they had to stay there.
Right.
And this woman was...
That's what they... Reagan.
Institutionalized.
Reagan years.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
This woman was probably in her 50s, and it was like 82, 85, maybe like 82. And she just disappeared one day from... They were taking like a census a couple times a day, and she just... won the census, she just wasn't there. So they started looking for her, and... they couldn't find her. They turned the place upside down. They couldn't find her anywhere. And it was a few weeks later that a maintenance man, now all the rest of this old hospital had been shut down now, went up on one of the locked wards. I don't know what he was doing, but it was an abandoned ward, but it was locked for security reasons. He went up there, he checked around, and in the locked tower room on this locked ward, he found this woman. Missing woman. And she was lying down in the center of the floor on her back, legs, you know, close together. She had her arms crossed over her chest, like a mummy, like a typical mummy kind of position. And for whatever reason, she had her clothes neatly piled in a little stack beside her body. And she was dead. And the coroner's report was exposure and I think also heart attack. Or a coronary, something like that.
Wow.
But nobody knows how this woman managed to get up onto a locked, empty ward and then into a locked, empty room on that locked, empty ward. It's a total mystery. But the thing is, when they lifted up her body and they moved her from the room, she left an image on this bare concrete floor. And if you see the photo, I mean, it's clear as day. You can see the head, the shoulders, the waist, the hips, you know, a complete torso laying there. And there's nothing, it's a very bizarre story, but there's really nothing paranormal about it in a sense that I think what you're looking at when you're looking at this stain is basically the results of what happens to all of us when we when we die, we become a stain someplace, you know. Right. I mean, that's sort of the scientific, or I should say unscientific explanation. But it's funny because I would have students that would say to me, you know, Mr. Kachuba, if you go up there and if you touch that image, you're going to die.
I was going to say that. Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that. Yeah. Because she will follow you home. And this one girl woke up and she's hovering over her and all this stuff. Yeah, I've heard that too.
Well, the big story, you have to talk about a girl, one of the co-eds who did go up there apparently and saw the image and touched it and whatever, and then committed suicide by jumping out her dorm window.
And now that room's supposedly haunted, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, though, the girl who actually was supposed to have done this actually graduated from OU. She's alive and well. And when she heard that she was dead, she was very surprised.
Oh, darn it.
See, that's what I mean.
Well, that
blows
that story right out of the water.
I know. I really hate to do that, but, you know, I have to be honest about it. Like I say, there's enough good stuff there, the EVPs and things like that. You don't need to make up stuff.
No, I'm kidding.
No, it's funny. One question I wanted to ask you real quick, John. What exactly is the Gotham Writers Workshop?
Oh, wow. Okay, well, the Gotham Writers Workshop is an organization in New York City that has online writing courses for a variety of everything from poetry to short stories to novels to whatever. And I've done a humor writing course for them online for many years. I'm still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was looking at is this your last book, this Gathering of Stones?
Yeah, that's a collection of short stories. Yeah, it just came out.
Yeah, it looks really, really good, and that's it's not really paranormal. I wouldn't consider that paranormal.
It's not.
Is it a fiction book, or is it people you've talked to, or?
No, it's a collection of short stories, and they're all basically, for lack of a better word, I would say they all have a sort of an anti-war, anti-violence theme to them. But there are two of them that are ghost stories, in fact, just by chance. I'm a writer first by profession and sort of a ghost hunter, you know, secondarily. But I'm working now on a novel that's a true ghost story. And I've done some other short ghost stories. Yeah, so that'll be interesting when that comes out.
Yeah, I was wondering if this, it addresses like Lakota Indians into Hitler, you know, into Vietnam and 9/11. It just looks like a really, really good book of short stories.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. It just came out, so we'll see how that goes. But
Now, speaking of books, Ghost Hunters, the On the Trail of Mediums, Dowsers, Spirit Seekers, and Other Investigators of American Paranormal World.
Right.
Now, did you go through and research, like, psychic mediums and you know, the tools that they use as far as pendulums, dowsing rods, and stuff like that?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, that long title is deliberately designed because I was trying to put a whole lot of stuff into one book and try to give kind of a sort of an overview of just what it means, what the paranormal world in America is today, you know?
Right.
So I couldn't do a lot of in-depth specifically like with mediums or psychics, but there is a little bit. Like, there's a chapter in there called Holy Ghosts. And it's about the spiritualist church, you know, the capital S.
Right.
And how as part of their religion, they're mediums. I mean, that's what they do. Every church service, they talk to spirit, as they say, and they have messages and, you know. So to research that, I went to Casadega in Florida. It's a spiritualist camp down there.
And
had a reading, and I went to some services up in Blue Ash, Ohio at a spiritualist church. So I did what I could. But I admit that the book is kind of limited in scope because it was sort of covering so many bases. But as you say that, interesting enough, I'm working on a book right now that is about psychics and mediums. And I'm doing an entire sort of year-long kind of investigation of psychics and mediums to see what that's all about.
Very cool. Now, where can we find your books online, like through Amazon or Barnes & Noble?
Sure. Well, you can get my books. Barnes & Noble has them, Borders has them. I mean, pretty much all the major book chains carry the books. But they're also on Amazon.com. They're available there. They're available on you know, BarnesandNoble.com, I think Walmart, I don't know, they all have them. So it shouldn't be hard to find them.
Walmart.
Yeah, really. I know. Isn't that amazing? It's
not my favorite place. Oh, it's funny.
Well, I don't know if it's good or bad, but I'm 2 seconds from the Walmart. I was on my way up there.
Oh, right. I love Walmart. He's so addicted to Walmart, I just tell you.
Well,
yeah, I have their website out here, John, so they can maybe click on there and get to the link. On the podcast, it's www.jkachuba.com, and that will link you up to where you can get his books.
That's true. Or people can contact me if they want directly through that, and it also has my schedule of appearances and things like that on there, too. So.
Outstanding.
Great.
Very cool, yeah. So, now I know Joni had mentioned the conference in Ohio. Do you plan on, like, venturing over into Indiana at all?
Well, if Indiana has something going, I can venture. I mean, living in Cincinnati, I'm not that far.
Right, right. Well, I know on February 20th at the Crumb Theater, there's a paranormal meet and greet in Columbus, Indiana.
Yeah,
I listed someplace.
We're gonna be out there with the ASPRN, and I believe Mike and Chris are going to be down. The owners of the station are going to be down there, and. Yeah, a bunch of us are going to get together and go wreak havoc on the Crump Theater, which is a great and plus place to investigate. So, yeah, if you guys get a chance to do that, definitely investigate the Crump Theater.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Yeah.
So have you ever been to anywhere in West Virginia?
You've
been to the prison, haven't you?
To what?
To the prison, to Moundsville?
Yeah.
Penitentiary?
As I say, yeah, I've been to Moundsville. I guess I went about 2 years ago. That place is incredible. I love that place.
Yeah, did you?
How'd that all go?
Well, actually, I got an EVP out of that place, too, that I really liked. I forgot which cell block it was, but it doesn't really matter. But I was with two other people, and we're the only ones in the cell block. And, you know, of course, as you're walking around on those catwalks, you know, it just echoes, you know, bang, bang. Everything's on metal, you know. So I had a tape recorder. It was a digital recorder. I had it in my shirt pocket, and I just turned it on and just let it run, you know, throughout the whole thing. I didn't bother trying to figure out what was going on. Just let it run. And so as you're playing it back, you can hear us coming down the stairs, you know, bang, 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 three of us coming down these metal stairs. Then at the bottom, there's a door, metal, you know, barred door. And we open it, and we close it, and it slams, you know, bang. You hear all that. And then right after that bang, the second after, you hear this deep male voice says, boom, just like that, boom, B-O-O-M, right?
Oh, wow.
And we said, who's that? You know? And we didn't, of course, you know, we didn't hear it then, right? But I played it back in the tape, and it's one of those things where, again, you jump when you hear that. And I played it for the other two people, and, you know, it clearly was not any one of us. It was not, the voice was not either of us or any of us, you know. And there was nobody else in that cell block, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, we were down there, oh my goodness, that's probably been 7 years ago at least, if not longer now. But at the time we were started out, we didn't really know what we were doing anyway. But I do know there was, the Sugar Shack was awful freaky, and there were people getting touched and things like that. And that little graveyard out by the chapel. It looks like they're buried straight up and down or something because they're real close together.
Wow.
Maybe they moved them. But really, there was just these little crosses with names, and then they were just like maybe 2 or 3 feet apart.
Well,
it was very bizarre.
Not that long ago, I found out that there's an actual prison cemetery, but it's not on the grounds. It's out on the deserted road out of the middle of nowhere, basically. You come around a turn, and there it is. And it's not marked. It's just little white crosses.
Oh, wow.
That might be something we might be interested in going into eventually.
Huh. I think so.
You have to cross a creek on a walking bridge, and it's right there. It's just
wow. Yeah. Did it have a white gate?
It has no gate. It's
just
nothing.
It has no gate. Okay.
It's just there.
Yep.
Okay.
Wow. I mean, I didn't know. You know, I've lived here probably 6 years and had no idea. And then we just happened to be out riding one day, and come around a turn, and I was like, what's that? And I'm like, it's a prison cemetery. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, because the people that live there, they just take that stuff for granted. They're like, well, they grew up with it, and just like the Indian mound across the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know what's going on over there, you know.
Right. Yeah, that's so bizarre to see that. I mean, it's like sitting right there. You know, the prison, and you know, right across the street from it. It's like, what?
Yeah, isn't that strange?
Well, see,
I wonder why in the world they would do that.
Actually, WVU was supposed to be, West Virginia University was supposed to be built on the site that the penitentiary is on. They're built in the same year, and Moundsville had the choice between the university or the prison, and they chose the prison. So. Wow.
Yeah, because at one time Wheeling was actually the capital of West Virginia.
Yes.
And then it got moved to Charleston, so that makes sense. Huh.
Oh yeah, that was the choice that Moundsville made.
Well, there's a good choice, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. But you know, that's interesting that the you were talking about the ridges being like, you know, they were had the patients out working in the community with mm-hmm. prison. That was the same thing. They were self sufficient. They had their own power plant. They had their own farm for food. You know, they made their own clothes. Everything. They had them out, you know, working in the community. The ones that weren't that violent. But that the ones that are buried inside of, supposedly the ones buried inside the grounds of the penitentiary were the most violent, and the ones
really?
That hung in the gallows.
Oh. Well, next time we get down there, because nobody seemed to know. We had a guide, because we went in, it was around Halloween, and they were doing tours, which we didn't know, that we didn't know what he was doing anyway. But I never thought to ask him about that, and I wonder why there's just not that many of them.
They're buried.
And why they were buried like that.
They're buried straight up and down.
It looks like it because they're just way too close together.
Yeah, they're buried straight up and down.
Huh.
Wow.
Very interesting.
Poor things.
Well, all right.
I guess they deserve it. I don't know. What do I do?
Right.
Yeah, those are the ones that were executed on grounds, like in the gallows and electric chair. Those are the ones that are buried inside the grounds.
Yeah, okay.
That's interesting. I think it's really creepy where they would hang the guys. You know, the cart would go mm-hmm. under and just drop the body and just go out the other end.
Yeah.
And isn't that strange? Doesn't it say like the wagon something on that building? Because it sits on top of the roof, and it looks like you're going to have a hoedown or something.
Right. Yeah, well.
You know, it's like the wagon. I'm like, what in the world? What kind of sense of humor is that?
Right.
Well, didn't they base like the Green Mile off of Mansfield? Or not Mansfield. Help me out.
Moundsville?
Yeah, Moundsville.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't really know.
I'm going to have to look in that. I thought they did.
Yeah,
well, I know the Shawshank Redemption was Mansfield Reformatory, or filmed at
mm-hmm.
Mansfield Reformatory in Ohio.
Right.
But I don't know about the Green Mile. It's interesting.
Yeah, Greg was at Mansfield.
Yeah, I was at Mansfield. It was a great, great time.
Yeah, here lately. Mm-hmm. I've never been there.
No, so I was at Moundsville last year, Jenny, with the other group. It was last year, last spring.
Yeah, with Roy, yeah.
Yeah, and we heard nothing. I mean, we got nothing from that place. Not a single... I mean, I've been there several times, and actually my very first frightening experience happened there in the hole. You know, they took mm-hmm. us down there and told us to turn off our lights and just sit there. And
yeah.
I was sitting there, and that's when something grabbed me right back of my head, and I was like,
which is bad enough to be sitting there with no lights on anyway, you know.
I just threw the light and said, come get me.
Open the door.
Yeah, that was the worst experience I think I've ever
you
had.
You big brave ghost hunter, yeah.
And then, you know, I've been there several other times and caught EVPs or caught sounds or whatever. And then the last time we were there with another group, it was just a weird, like you had said, it was like a weird experience. Like it was like really, it was almost too calm and there was nothing going on. But there was like a bad dynamic inside the group itself, so I don't know if that had something to do with
oh,
it.
Oh, really?
Maybe.
Huh.
So, yeah, we got nothing. Nothing at all.
Well, they don't perform on cue. It's not like you know, pay to go see a movie or something.
Well, I think they were.
If they feel like letting you know they're around, they will, and if they don't, they don't.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they don't come on demand, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It'd be nice if they did, though.
It would be nice. It'd be a lot easier.
You know?
Make an appointment. Make a reservation.
That's right. That's right.
Make an appointment.
Sure. It's good. Yeah.
How about Friday about 1:30 a.m.?
Okay. That'll work out fine for me. I'll check with Casper.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Oh, my.
Okay. Well, John, coming up on the hour here, and so glad you could come on and talk to us and give us some information and very, very, very irritating.
No, I appreciate
thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on. It's been great talking to you guys. And,
right.
You maybe see you on the road somewhere.
You want to put out your website
definitely.
One more time?
It's www.johnmoundsville.com. jkachuba.com. And there's all kinds of links on there. Your schedule for what you're doing this coming next few months is on there. There's ways to get to the books, to purchase the books. It's got everything you need on it.
Yep.
Outstanding. Yep. Well, John, thank you very much for coming on with Midwest Prayer Talk Radio tonight, and we'll definitely have to be in touch with you and get you back on and carry on the conversation about ghost hunting and cool places. So,
I'd love to do that. Just let me know, and you guys have a good time. Stay safe out there, you know?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, we will.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, okay, bye-bye.
John Kachuba, that's right, you guys. You heard it here on Midwest Paratalk Radio. His website is www.jkachuba.com. Go out, check it out. Look at his books. Look at his upcoming events. He's got plenty of stuff going on. Maybe you guys can hook up with him, meet him, tell him, you know, hey, I heard you on Midwest Paratalk Radio on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. And he'll be like, oh, right on. Let's hang out.
Yeah, he's wonderful to listen to.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah, so laid back and stuff. I love it.
I definitely want. I hope he gets on top of that that book about the mediums and using the pendulums.
Blah blah blah.
I'm tongue-tied.
Yeah, because I'm interested too. Because I'm going to see like if I want to see how he approaches it.
Yeah, I guess that's the best way to say it. Yeah, I do too. And you know what? I think he's going to handle business, which is really cool. So yeah, looking forward to that. You know, we'll definitely keep John in our little minds here about getting him back on the show after something like that drops. And,
right.
You know, because that would be very cool to talk about.
Yeah, because like he says, he's a writer first, and man, I've read a couple of his books, and he's a very good writer.
Cool. So, well, we all know how awesome. Reading, yeah. That whole thing.
Reading, Greg. You know, sitting down in a chair and reading.
Why do you want to do that when you can get on the internet and surf the internet?
Exactly.
And I don't know. I guess I'm just old-fashioned.
And do paranormal radio.
I don't know.
You know?
Heaven forbid.
I read way too much.
Well, you're in school. You have to.
That's right.
You know?
That is right. Unless somebody is wanting me to get... Jay and out in the chat, Ryan wants me to jump on my soapbox again. That was funny. That was something
who
that...
Who wants you to jump on the soapbox?
Jay and Ryan, 87.
Why? About what?
I don't know. He's like, because I hit the nail on the head last time that I jumped up on it, which, you know, it's something that has been bothering me a long time. And, you know, I wouldn't say anything. And then, like, I had my mouth
what was that about?
On. About dumb people, and I took the Dharma sets, and it just kind of just flowed
about
out
dumb people. Okay,
it was, you know. I mean, come on, seriously, you know.
No, seriously, I can't remember.
Oh,
yeah, you can.
Yeah, you'll remember.
Thank God.
No,
I
think what it is,
she's
trying to bait me
it.
Into getting up on that soapbox again.
Oh, I got it.
But you know, stuff like that.
I was actually going to do that myself, but I got calmed down. I was going to do that a couple weeks ago too, and I was like, but I got over it. So.
Oh yeah, I was real calm after the show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what you.
Well,
need
I
to
think
do
I was going to get on prematurely. I think I have this tendency at times to just get a little too
worked
aggressive.
Not you. Not you.
Right, Mike. Didn't she set you
on
fire once?
I'm trying to watch that. Yeah.
She's not aggressive. Yeah, I set my brother on fire once, but hey, I'm not aggressive.
That was my brother.
Oh, okay.
I can't even believe you said that.
No. But
she put me in the oven.
But yeah, you know, I mean, you got to speak your mind doing this, and you know, that's the nature of the beast when you do, you know, interviews and radio like this. That you know, you put the truth out there, and you know, if somebody's feelings get hurt, you know, I'm sorry, but you know, if the truth hurts, you know the old saying, you know, or you know.
Well,
you know.
I would just like to say, what I'd like to say is, everybody, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, because I'm not being aggressive or anything. Those TV shows that we all watch are for entertainment. That's
right,
all I need to say.
Right.
If you want to learn how to do that stuff, read a book.
If you want to learn
about the internet, read a book.
I agree.
An old-fashioned book.
I agree. You've got to do your research, and that goes
without saying. Yeah, read Hans Holzer. Yeah. He was doing this 50, 60 years ago. Read that. Read, you know, who else? Who else could we read? Edgar Cayce, if you want to get into the spiritualist side of it. Read Edgar Cayce.
And for those
you've got to have some kind of background, you know?
Right, and for those of you like who don't like to read, actually contact a group that and research your group and go out with them and talk to them and learn.
And get the attitude of the group.
Exactly.
It's an experience.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How can you talk about something if you have never experienced it?
I know, right?
Yeah, and that's what I was going to get on about, because I'm like, you know, and I'm not trying to be, like, put anybody down, but listen, when you're, like, just starting out and you think you know everything, you don't.
No, no.
And I mean that in the nicest way possible. You just don't. You need to do your homework.
Yep.
Because, I mean, honestly, you can get yourself hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't know what you're doing.
Or you can bring something home you didn't want to bring home.
Exactly. I mean, look, it happened in our own family, if you recall.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do. They had to...
No, I don't.
The crystals to get them out of the house because someone thought she knew something and she was dousing, and we remember that.
Oh, my God. I wish I had a memory. My memory sucks. I'm telling you, I've got the worst memory
now,
anymore.
Right?
It's kind of funny. Huh?
You do recall it now, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, they were playing around.
That was self-induced.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude, check it out. JanRyan87 out of the chat room said that you should post, like, a book list. You know, that is a really good idea.
Absolutely.
You know?
You mean, like, for we have a lot of book writers on. You mean for, like, that kind of thing?
Well,
no,
for book writers.
Oh,
and
you
for
mean for people to read?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's not a bad idea.
We'll put it up. I need to do some revamping of the NPR website and get Mike's name on there. And I'm
Well, you need to give me your password so I can go do it myself.
Okay.
But,
yeah, I'll do that right after the show.
So it'll get done.
Get on that,
Greg has got 20,000 things to do anyway. But,
yeah.
And I would tell you the simplest thing, what I started out reading when I was like 15, is Fate Magazine.
Yep.
It covers it all. It covers ghosts. It covers UFOs. It covers psychics. It covers everything, and they still sell it.
Yes,
and
they
I
do.
And I still read it.
Yes, they do.
It's an awesome little magazine.
That's what we should do. We should, like, designate a page on the website for paranormal books.
For education.
Yeah.
For education for paranormal groups.
Well, we can't necessarily say for strict education. I mean, for knowledge.
What are you going to call it, Ed?
Assisted knowledge.
Information?
No, assisted knowledge of paranormal research.
Assisted knowledge.
Oh, come on. Give it to me. That was good.
I
pulled that one
boy.
Right out of my bunghole.
What did you do with butts tonight?
Huh?
What is with you and butts tonight? Wow.
I don't know, man. Pull my finger.
I think it came home from work like that. I think
oh,
that's
yeah,
what to do with
yeah,
the job.
Yeah. My job sucks ass.
Mm-hmm.
It does, man, and there's no way to put it, and they're a bunch of asshats, and, yeah.
Oh, my God.
But,
oh, my.
So, yeah, and research types, yeah, I agree, and Ryan87 out of the chat room, good, great idea. And
yeah, it is a good idea. Yeah, if you don't have the time, and if you give me your passwords, I can do that myself.
I will give you the passwords. It's just, yeah, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
I can do that. I need to remember the password, though.
Yeah, because our website actually has a list of books on it that we recommend for people to read.
Mm-hmm. Now, I gave
in
you
different genres. So
I gave you that software.
And that is www.ancientvalleyparanormalinvestigations.com.
Plug it.
Go to, I forget what it says. Books, maybe just books.
Yeah, just
and
books.
There's a list on there of things that we've read, and you know what we've and some we just enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
We have like Troy Taylor and stuff like that on there too, I believe. But there's some books on there that can be very helpful.
Mm-hmm. We definitely need to get a listing of the authors that we've had on NPR as well.
Oh, my God. I'll have to go back through all the notes. We've had a few.
Mm-hmm. And get that. And but, yeah, that is a great idea. We'll work on that. Jenny and I, we'll talk about it. Like I said, I want to revamp it. I want to get Mike up on the webpage as well. And
yeah,
maybe
Mike,
do
a picture, and I got one.
Yeah, maybe, you know,
picture for you.
Joni might get creative and switch stuff up and around and whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, I got that picture over at Dave's of that black mist around you, and you're going, ooh, that's a real good picture.
That's a real good picture.
It's a perfect picture.
Yeah, it looks real good.
He's like, ready to pass out or something. He's like, what's wrong with me?
I'm glad she's your sister,
black fists all around him.
You know,
it's funny.
I am really glad she's related to you.
Hey, I've got some pictures of her and I'm excited.
Shut up. Okay, shut up now.
All right, we'll
okay.
get together after the show.
Yeah.
Right. All right, you guys. Well, let's...
One thing real quick. Has anyone heard of a ghost box?
I have heard of a ghost box.
I heard a real... Who was I listening to last night? Who was talking about the ghost box? Where was I? Wednesday. Maybe it was Tuesday. Somebody was talking about a ghost box here in the last couple of days. I've been listening to them. And I would like to try one. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what kind they had. I don't know if they made their own or if they...
Well,
it was not a novelist or anything like that. It wasn't a shack hack.
It's a lot cheaper.
Greg's got a shack hack, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I'd like to have one just to try it out and see what it does.
No, not really.
No, not really what?
It doesn't work. Yes, if it worked. Not really. I mean, I've had it on a couple investigations.
Oh, I know who it was. I knew who it was.
And tried
on,
to use it. And no,
on Crystal's show last night, they had that girl in that had been on The Haunted with that program about the dogs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now I saw that program. It was called The Ghost Box, I do believe. It was called The Ghost Box Experience or something like that.
Yeah.
And she was talking about that. And she's from Maryland. She's been doing this for many, many years. And they had one, and everything that this thing said to them within 6 months or so, it came true.
Really?
Yeah, because they were like, wow. At the time, they didn't know what it meant. And this is stuff like murder.
Oh, my.
This is stuff you wouldn't think of.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I've been researching them and trying to figure out, you know, do you buy them or do you make them? And everything I've looked up to find has been you have to go to Radio Shack, buy a certain one, certain radio.
Mm-hmm.
A serial number, and a couple of them have the speaker built in. Some have external speakers, and they go through and they tell you how to hack them and everything mm-hmm. like that. But I just never.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, they don't make that particular model anymore. So there is a new, improved hack
mm-hmm.
that is out there as well. I have the model number somewhere in my bookmarks. I'll shoot it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I would like to try. I mean, if mm-hmm. I could buy one or made, it'd be better. But
eBay.
Well, Mike, we've got Chris Moon on the
network
now. When's he on?
He's on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on Studio A.
Okay, and he's got a box. And I don't know what he calls it.
The Frank's box.
Okay, the Frank's box.
Yep.
That was one of the first ones they tried. And it's controversial, and I'd like to say, I have never used one, and I have listened to both sides of the story, and I would like to use something so I can make my own judgment.
Well, when we get together again, I'll get mine fixed because I need to resolder the wires and get it squared away and get it back up and operational. But what I do, I mean, I have it. I have a headset, and I have the I plugged the recorder into the radio, and I plugged the headset into the recorder, so it's piping through the recorder and recording real time.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
But I've not had any luck with that yet. I've used it 3 times, and the third time the battery's busted. But yeah, no, the battery wire is broke. But I mean, who's to say that other people, you can really hear them work? So. I don't know. It's something maybe when we get together, when we go down to Moundsville, we can try it out.
Yeah, because it doesn't have anything already pre-programmed into it, like an ovulus or something.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
So, all right, guys. Well, it's about beer 30. Actually, beer 15. Because, Mike's got to work in the morning. And
from home.
Joni has kids, and I have to work in the morning from home.
And Mike has to get up really early.
Yeah. I don't know how, man. I don't know how you stay up this late, because I'd be like a guy in that commercial.
Energy booster thingy,
right.
Like vitamin, whatever it is.
Don't talk to me. I haven't had my first cup of coffee yet.
No.
Right.
I skip over the coffee. I do the 5-hour energies.
Have I told you that story? Real super quick. The 5-hour energy story. I go pick up the kids late spring, early summer. And we stop at the Thornton's gas station.
Mm-hmm.
And we get our drinks and whatnot. We're about a quarter of the way home, and it's about an hour. It wasn't about an hour and 10 minute drive. So, you know, we stopped to get something, and, you know, we'll stand there in line, and they had 5 hour energy and 6 hour energy. And my daughter, God love her, she turns around to me with the most serious face that I've ever seen, and she goes, "So what's the difference between the 5 hour and the 6 hour?" And I promptly, without even thinking about it, and said, "Well, about an hour."
And then she went, "I hate you."
No, she looked at me like, "Oh, F you." And the guy that was standing in front of her, he turned around at this point. He's looking at me, and he's freaking laughing his ass off. And it's like, you know, it wasn't even one of those, like, it just popped out. She's like, "What's the difference between 5 and 6? I said an hour.
Yeah, you're going to have to keep an eye on that. Yeah. I have a teenage girl.
Because
they take everything like, oh.
yeah, she does. And, you know, I just love to torment
yes,
her. Yes,
mine does,
in
too.
My, it's in my, in my genes. So,
mm-hmm.
All right, you guys. Well, this has been another edition of Midwest Prayer Talk Radio here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Remember to check back in periodically. We've got shows and now music going on Studio A and Studio B. Definitely check in with us tomorrow because I'll be rocking and rolling probably just about all day long unless, you know, I find something to watch on the computer. So,
Hulu.
Right. Hulu is my friend, and don't be, yeah. So, anyway, the website, www.midwestparatalkradio.com. You guys go out there and check it out. It's got a, for anybody that wants to be on the show and you've got an interesting story, it's got a page on there where you can click and do show requests. Fill that out, send it to us, and we'll get something hooked up. So thank you guys for hanging out with us, and that's all really I have to say about that. So, Joni, Mike.
Good night, everybody.
Night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
And you've been listening to Midwest Parrot Talk Radio, brought to you by Midwest Parrot Talk Productions here on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. And don't forget to check out all the great shows here on the ASPRN Network, like Crossroads Paranormal Radio, Ghostly Talk, Etherland Live, IGH Radio, Night Watchers, Parachallenge Radio, Paranormal Encounters Radio, Paranormal Outreach Radio, Residual Hauntings Live, and Tales from Beyond, all on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.